gospel for today comes from Luke chapter 1, beginning with the 11th verse. Then appeared to Zechariah an angel of the Lord, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Continuing with verse 57, "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, 'No, he is to be called John.' They said to her, 'None of your relatives has this name.' Then they began motioning to his father to find out what he wanted, what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, 'His name is John.' And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and Zechariah's tongue was freed and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors and all those things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. And all who heard them pondered them and said, 'What then will this child become?' For indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him." The gospel of the Lord. The congregation may be seated. At this time, I'd invite any children to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. Believe in your future self. That's the perfect shirt for this sermon right here. Morning. So we heard in those two stories right there a whole lot about this boy, John. Before he was even born, there was a lot of hope and expectation about who he was going to be. And so I'm kind of wondering if you know, thinking about your future, if you have any hopes or expectations or things you're excited about, when you grow up, what are some of the things that you're thinking about that you'd be excited to do or be as a grown-up? Get a dog, yeah, that'd be fun. Is there anything else you kind of imagine or hope to be or do when you grow up? Just living in the moment. That's good. I was thinking when I was your age, everybody thought that I would be a police officer because I really like to follow the rules and I really like to remind everybody else that they should follow the rules. Everybody thought I would be a police officer when I grew up. Anything you can think of? A nurse? Yeah. Cool. Yeah. We're going to hear some more about this guy, John the Baptist, and all of the expectations and what he did grow up to be. And as we think about that, as we think about our future, whatever that might be, whatever you might end up doing in your future, whatever it is, God promises that he'll be a part of that, and he'll walk with us right here and now, and whatever direction our lives takes, he promises he'll be a part of that too. So let's take a moment to pray. Jesus Christ, I give you thanks for all the hopes and promises that you've granted these kids gathered here this morning for their life that's yet to come, and that whatever this life brings ahead of them, that you promise to be there too, a part of their story and the life that's yet to come. Help them to look forward to their future with hope and peace of mind, knowing that you're a part of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming up.
And fear.
Would you join me in prayer? Lord, may these words be yours and not mine. And may they be received at this time with open hearts and open minds. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So there's a whole lot of expectation around little baby John before he's ever even born, before he comes into this world. An angel comes and tells his father, as you heard in the text today, he will be a joy and a delight to you. Many will rejoice because of his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. He will turn the hearts of many to the Lord. He will prepare the way of the Lord. So there's all this expectation behind John's birth, and then when he's finally born, those who witness him being presented in the temple 8 days later, the question comes about as they're looking on him and they've heard all this about him, they say, so what then is this child going to be? Have you ever watched your kids growing up, or maybe now your grandkids, or maybe teaching or serving around the community and watching all these other, all the kids in our community, and looked at them and asked yourself, I wonder what they're going to be like, you know, when they get older, when they grow up. I wonder what they'll be, what they'll do, how great and wonderful might they be, or maybe as my parents still ask some days, will they ever outgrow that behavior? What kind of questions do you think about as you see the kids in our community? What will they be? For Zechariah, he didn't have to wait long. John's father didn't have to wait long or wonder at all for that matter. In fact, on the same day in the temple that his son was born, Luke's gospel tells us that Zechariah himself was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak of what would become of John's life. Some people think that maybe he sang it, but I'll simply read it for you this morning. Zechariah says about his son John, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace. So John's purpose, geared here right from the beginning, is to prepare the way, essentially in all things, to point to Jesus Christ. So that's sometimes when you see some of these old paintings of John the Baptist, he has this abnormally long, pointy finger that is pointing to Jesus Christ. So you can look at that in some of the depictions of John the Baptist. What expectations do you suppose, or maybe you know, what expectations did your family have about you at your birth? And kids, if you're hearing this morning, maybe you can ask your parents after the service today, what expectations do you have for my life? What hopes do you have for him? Maybe what fears do you have for him being born into this world and culture that we're looking at today? Maybe you hope that they'll grow up and take over the family business. Maybe your parents hope that you would marry and have a family of your own and perpetuate the family history. Maybe that you would go to college, or that you would be successful in everything that you did, or maybe simply to stay out of trouble. Maybe expectations and hopes and fears that are still on your shoulders to this very day. Maybe not placed on you by anybody in your family necessarily, but maybe hopes and expectations and fears that you place on yourself. So let me ask you, are you living up to those expectations? Are you living the good life that you or others hope that you would have? There's a recent study that went out that suggests that the way that we measure whether a person has lived a good life or not is weighted heavily on what happened during the final years of their life. And they kind of, for fun, call it the James Dean effect. Maybe you've heard it before. It's better to burn out than to fade away. But we have this very heavy weighting of a person's life and value based on what happened during the final years of their life. So they asked people, and what they found is, you know, you could live 70 years of your life living above and beyond and doing wonderful things for the community and those around you, but if you spent the last 10 years of your life as a Scrooge, well, that's how people remember you, as a Scrooge. If somebody spent 65 years of their life being a tyrant, but then decided in their last 5 years that they were going to turn around and give it all away to really care for their neighbors, to change their ways, people were really willing to write off those previous 65 years as a wonderful turn of events, and man, what a beautiful person they were remembered as. So there's this very heavy value on whatever was happening during during those final years of life, which is really interesting then when we take that back and lay it alongside the story of John the Baptist and how his life plays out. You see, there was such lofty expectation around John before he was ever even born and immediately after he was born. John, who attracted this large following, not in the middle of any city, but out in the middle of the wilderness. John, who people wondered if he himself might be the Christ. John, whose ministry attracted such attention that Jesus' own disciples asked Jesus, "Could you teach us how to pray like John taught others how to pray?" That is the ministry and the life of a man whose reputation then ends with him in prison because he spoke up against the government at that time. John was put in prison, and his last words, the last recorded words of John the Baptist, are this, coming on the lips of a messenger to Jesus Christ as John asks, "Are you the Messiah, or should we be waiting for another?" John the Baptist, right, filled with the Holy Spirit, who was expected to prepare the way for the Lord, and his last recorded words are not a declaration, but a question that is full of hope, both hope and fear. Are you it, or should we be waiting for another? So what do you think, looking at the end of John's life here, and if we weight things based on the last words and things that happen in a person's life, what do you think about John? Did he live up to all of the expectation about him? Here's the thing. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so are you. Every last one of you in this room. Filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, our Christian equivalent of being presented in the temple is baptism. And as it was for John, so it was for many of you, that this is something that happened when you were an infant, maybe before you even knew what was going on. It was declared in your baptism. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to it the next time we have a baptism here. It's part of the service itself. We declare, based on God's word, that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And with the gifting of the Holy Spirit comes expectations as to what the Holy Spirit is going to do with your life. And here it is in the briefest way that I can put it for you. Here's what the Holy Spirit promises to do with your life. One of my professors put it this way: the primary work of the Holy Spirit is to be the spotlight and to shine that spotlight on Jesus Christ. So here at the end of John the Baptist's life, as he sits in prison and the question about Christ goes out from him, all of the attention, all of the spotlight is shifted off of John and entirely onto Jesus Christ. And the Spirit is going to do the exact same thing in your life, to shift the spotlight off of you and entirely on to Jesus Christ. Okay, here's how this will happen. You will often find it happening in such a way that you get to a point in your life where you have had it up to here with all the expectations that are on you, with all the hope and the fear that comes with those expectations, whether they've been put on you by others or whether they are expectations that you have put on yourself. And maybe you're finding yourself in that exact situation in this holiday season, right? Often in these days ahead, the greatest expectations and hopes and fears have been placed on you. And like John, it will seem that you've come to a place in your life where you are incapable of doing what's been expected of you. And this is exactly where the Spirit likes to go to work, when it's clear that you can't anymore. And that's when the spotlight finally shifts off of you and shifts fully onto Jesus Christ. Because you see, your future, all of the expectations about it, all of the hopes and fears that go with your future are in the hands of Jesus Christ. Always have it, right? There's a great classic hymn that puts it best, I think. the hopes and fears